Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm pleased to have Ewan Downing. He's the CEO of i80 Gold Corp with me today. Ewan has been a very successful mining entrepreneur and has won a lot of awards in Canada for his achievements over the years. Well, you just heard from Alistair MacLeod. He explained why the days of dollar hegemony appear to be nearing an end. If Alistair's thesis is correct, then gold and gold shares, at least those of efficient gold miners, should do very well in the years to come. i80 Gold Corp is a relatively new name in the gold space, but it is a company that I believe you will soon become, you're going to hear a lot about them, they'll become a household name in my view. i80 already holds the second largest gold resource in Nevada behind Barrick and Newmont joint venture, Nevada Gold. As a disclaimer, I should tell you that i80 is a recommendation in my newsletter. It is personally my largest holding at this point in time, at least, and it is a sponsor for today's show. For that, we're very glad to tell you that Ewan is with us. Before I say hello to Ewan, I should probably tell you i80 trades in the United States and in Canada. 246 million shares, been trading around $2.60, $2.70, somewhere in that range in U.S. money, giving it a market cap of around $650 million. Ewan, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again, Jay.
Yeah, the last time we talked on Turning Hard Times into Good Times, you were the president and CEO of Premier Gold Mines, which has metamorphosed into i80 Gold Corp. Can you share with our listeners and our viewers the story of Premier and evolving into i80?
Yeah, Premier was a gold-focused company that had projects and mines in Canada, the United States, in Nevada, and in Mexico. And our largest project in the portfolio, Premier, was the Greenstone mine property. Mm-hmm. And in 2021, Premier was acquired by Equinox Gold. The key asset that they were seeking to acquire was the Greenstone asset that is currently in construction. And that is a deposit that essentially was a discovery of ours at Premier. Mm-hmm. We drilled out a large open pit, similar to sort of an Osisko type open pit. And it is now in construction and will be in production next year. But as part of that takeover, we spun out the Nevada assets to create i80 Gold. Mm-hmm. And i80, since inception, less than 2 years ago, we have made numerous key acquisitions that, as you said, make us the largest holder of gold and silver resources in the Carlin and Battle Mountain trends next to Nevada Gold Mines. And our growth trajectory over the next several years, we expect to soon become the second largest producer of precious metals in the state.
The second largest producer. And you are, as I say, the second largest, I think, resource right now in the state. Could you talk a little bit about that resource? How many ounces of gold and other metals might you have at this stage?
It's approximately 6.5 million ounces in indicated category and over 8 million ounces inferred, for a total of over 14.5 million ounces of gold. Mm-hmm. And that is spread out across four different projects. We are currently upgrading two additional deposits to resource. So we've in 2022, we had a very significant exploration campaign at numerous projects, had numerous successes, and we are expecting to add to our gold and silver endowment in the coming year as we release new resource estimates. We also have started production at our Granite Creek operation. So we have a small scale production this year, gearing up to be much larger production in 24, 25, and then 26 as we build out our multiple assets. We're also quite blessed to have significant infrastructure in the state. We have two existing processing facilities that make the transition from explorer to developer and producer much more realistic, since we don't have to permit. And as you know, permitting new mining and tailings facility is one of the biggest challenges for operations. So we're quite blessed with infrastructure and resources.
Right. So the names that I'm familiar with as I watch what you're doing there, Ruby Hill, which is, I guess, I consider, it seems to me, the flagship of your company. Extremely exciting. It's not only gold and silver, but you also have a carbonate replacement discovery that is really an exciting story of, I guess it's silver, lead, and zinc there, probably, at Ruby Hill.
It's primarily lead, zinc, silver, but we are getting up to 60 grams gold with those intercepts too. So we're getting extremely high grade gold mineralization, and we are the gold deposit we have there is the Ruby Deeps, and that was the focus of our early exploration at Ruby Hill, was defining the Ruby Deeps deposit for underground development. We've submitted our permits to go underground. We expect to start the development of the underground workings here later this year. But after we delineated what we feel is a mineable resource at the Ruby Deeps deposit, we embarked on exploration. And the thing about the Ruby Hill district, or the Eureka district as it's called, is the history in mining for the first 100 years of production in this district was all CRD. 102 years. It was 1864 to 1966. And after 1966, the district went more or less dormant until Homestake and Barrick came along looking for Carlin type deposits. But and they essentially ignored the CRD opportunity. But the historic CRD mines that mined here are amongst, if not the highest grade CRD deposits of this type that you'll find anywhere in the world. And in the second half of last year, we started looking at the CRD targets as an exploration focus for the second half of the year. And our first three targets were resulted in new discoveries. We're drilling those deposits, or what we think are becoming deposits, out as we speak. Our exploration was supposed to slow down quite a bit in 2023, but at Ruby Hill, but instead we've ramped up to have six drills active. And we have a few exciting new targets that we'll be testing early in this year's program that we feel have a good opportunity to be at other CRD deposits. So we're having a lot of success. The upper hilltop zone that we discovered, in my opinion, is probably the highest grade deposit in the metal space that was discovered anywhere in the world in 2022. So we're pretty happy about what we're doing there. We keep stepping out. We're testing new targets, and we think this year is going to be a huge year for our company, primarily on this polymetallic mineralization that includes lead and zinc. So it also gives our company significant diversification in metals.
Yeah, it sure does. And that kind of makes sense because I think Nevada was known as the Silver State. That may even be its model. And that came from those carbonate replacement deposits, CRDs, as you call them, for the sake of people who may not be familiar with the nomenclature. You heard Ewan talk about CRD deposits. That's what he's talking about at Ruby Hill. That is the hilltop zone. And very exciting. And I think you mentioned before we started recording today that that zinc is now a metal of interest, a special interest to the United States government. It's considered a critical metal. Do I have that right?
Yeah, in late 2021, the U.S. Geological Survey added two new metals to their critical minerals list, and those two metals were nickel and zinc, not copper. As you know, there's quite a bit of copper production in coming out of Arizona. So I would say that there's quite a bit of copper mining taking place in the United States. But over the last couple of decades, we've seen no new zinc mines put in production in the United States. And in fact, multiple zinc mines have shut down, including one last year that Teck operated in Washington. So zinc is, I think, becoming more important to the US as a metal because there isn't much at home production right now in terms of the metal. And with the political issues we're seeing, so to speak, with Russia and China and some of the challenges we're having, I believe that the make your metals, make your product at home is going to be more and more a focus for the United States going forward. And we just happen to have made what we think is one of the most significant zinc or discoveries that includes zinc, made since the Arizona mining discovery, the Taylor deposit in Arizona. So we're quite excited by the fact that we have a what appears to be a very significant zinc deposit we're drilling out right beside one of the highest grade undeveloped gold deposits in the United States.
Is there some sense of when you might be able to get some production from Ruby Hill?
We expect to see some production from the gold side because we have a processing arrangement with Nevada Gold Mines while we start our facilities. So it allows us to start mining sooner than we would if we were waiting to get our facilities running. And I would expect in 2024 in the 426 zone, which is one of the gold zones, we will start to get into some of the ore production there, and that will be gold production in this initially. But in 2024, we also intend to drive our underground infrastructure over to the Blackjack deposit. That's the largest of our known base metal projects or polymetallic projects to date. And we expect to do an underground drill program to define that for development. So it's quite possible if the permitting lines up that we could move into polymetallic production in 25 or 26.
Oh.
And in addition to being a gold producer.
Can you give us some sense of the economics that I don't know how much of this you can talk about yet, and I think because I think you're probably doing some feasibility work on on this project as well as others, but can you give us a sense of what you're talking about some incredibly high grades. I know the Ruby Deep was really phenomenal. Those grades, those intercepts were very exciting, but can you give us some sort of a sense of what the economics might look like, starting with the gold project?
Yeah, the gold projects, the three deposits we're developing are Cove, Granite Creek, and Ruby Deeps at Ruby Hill. Granite Creek average grade is over 10 grams per ton. The Cove project is almost 11 grams per ton. Those are both in development with some mining just starting at Granite Creek. So those projects are both underground. We're preparing those for long-term mining. And then Ruby Hill, we expect the grade to be somewhat lower, probably in the 7 to 8 gram range, but the widths are significantly bigger, so the mining cost should be less. So we're going through, we've released two preliminary economic assessments that demonstrate very strong returns for the Cove and Granite Creek projects. We're working on one as we speak for the gold side of Ruby Hill. And the drilling we're doing right now is bringing the polymetallic or the zinc, lead, gold, silver deposits to 43-101 resource so that we can start working towards an economic study that we can actually publish for that project, hopefully as early as sometime in 2024. And as we're developing our projects, we'll be really looking at, because we have the two processing plants, one that we expect will process base metals. That's the plant at Ruby Hill. We long term, we want to convert that to a flotation plant that produces a lead and a zinc concentrate. And all of the gold mineralization will be trucked to Lone Tree from the three sites to our central processing autoclave. We're one of three companies in all of the United States that has a facility like this for processing refractory ore. So we need to get all three underground mines operating in order to fill that autoclave. And the base metal side, I just say in terms of economics, if you look at the grades that we're drilling in the upper hilltop, they are on a dollar equivalent multiples of any of our gold deposits. So I'm expecting that once we do publish the economics, it'll be a real eye opener.
It's really exciting. I think that that facility that you have there at the Lone Star facility, which is you're sort of a hub and spokes model business model then, I guess, isn't it, Ewan?
Yeah, I'd say in some ways, if you look at how Nevada Gold Mines is in production, and for those who don't know, Nevada Gold Mines is the joint venture where Newmont and Barrick put all of their gold assets in Nevada together. And collectively, Nevada Gold Mines, if it were its own mining company, would be the fourth largest producer of gold in the world annually. Only its two owners and Agnico Eagle produce more gold than Nevada Gold Mines. So it's huge production, but they have a hub and spoke model at three different sites. So at Turquoise Ridge, they have a central processing facility fed by multiple deposits. At Cortez, they have a processing facility fed by, I think, four deposits. And then at Goldstrike in the Carlin Trend, they have two processing facilities fed by about 12 different operations. So we're doing exactly what Nevada Gold Mines is doing with the Lone Tree autoclave, but we're feeding it with three deposits. So we're doing it on a smaller scale than them. But In saying that, we also have the polymetallics and the processing facility at Ruby Hill. So that project would be centrally located. So the deposit that we expect to mine there is right beside the processing facility. So it's Lone Tree would be a hub and spoke for the gold operations, but we expect that Ruby Hill is going to be just one deposit, one mine.
Yeah, those sort of complex ores are fairly common in Nevada. Do you see any possibility of using that facility to process ores from other companies? Is that a toll milling or anything? You're hoping not to, probably. You want
Yeah,
to put your own high grade stuff through there, yeah.
our hope is that our three projects, we can mine ultimately sufficient ore that we fill that facility for the long
Right.
term. But that said, if we do find that there is capacity, for sure we would consider bringing in third party ore, or maybe even discussing with Nevada Gold Mines if they had some material that they needed to be processed, even working with them. So I think we're quite open to being remaining friendly with Nevada Gold Mines in the state, and obviously keep our options open as we build our company.
But just looking at your latest financials over the 9 months ending in the first 9 months of 2022, you had an operating profit even though you had a very small, I think 13,000 ounces or something like that, $7 million operating profit. But you showed a loss of I think 41 million or something. But you included there because you Canadians, I guess, include their exploration expenses of something like 32 million and. Well, general administrative costs, of course, come out of it. But do you see a time? I mean, when do you think you might be able to see a positive number on the bottom line? Do you have any goal for that? Any idea what investors might look forward to?
2023 is a big development year for our company, so
Sure.
we haven't started the underground development yet at Ruby Hill. So I'd expect 23 to be smaller production, more development heavy. In 24, it is our goal to start mining both at well start mining the some of the upper part of the gold deposit at Ruby Hill. So that would make two of our underground mines doing smaller scale production in 24, and depending on the infrastructure build outs on either the base metal or the gold side, I wouldn't really expect us to start demonstrating any types of positive cash flow on the bottom line to probably at least 25 and possibly even into 26. But beyond that, we should have a good runway for at least a couple of decades of very strong production. And as I said, we do intend over the next 3 to 4 years to become the second largest gold producer in the United States, which is a pretty lofty goal, but we do have the resources to do it. We
Yeah.
have the infrastructure already in place. We have grid power, we've got water rights, we've got road access. We've got all of the infrastructure there to carry out our goal. Now it's just doing all the prudent economic work, drill out the deposits properly, get the proper mining methods implied through probably bulk sampling at each project, and then really moving forward with our growth and production. But in the meantime, we do expect to have some very significant exploration results. This is going to be our biggest year of pure exploration, so testing new targets in our company's young life. But we are expecting that some of those could yield some pretty significant additional discoveries, even though we think we've made some of the top discoveries anywhere in the world in the last 12 months.
I think there's no doubt about that. Well, investors should realize that it's not for a company like yours, as you're building wealth in the ground, you're building up shareholder value, and that will be reflected in the price of the shares, which are now around $2.60 or so, $2 in US money. It's, as I said, it's my largest holding at this stage. I have a lot of confidence. Ewan has had you've had a lot of success in the past. You have the operating people, the people who can put these mines into production. So I have a high level of confidence. Your balance sheet is pretty clean. I believe you're pretty well off financially now. You have a good amount of cash on the balance sheet, Ewan.
Yeah, at the end of Q3, we had a very strong balance sheet. At the end of Q4, pretty decent balance sheet as well. But We do have a lot of development initiatives underway. So, there is, I would expect over the next probably 18 months, you'll see some financings done, be it debt, be it additional prepays or streams or equity or converts. We're looking at all type of options, but the next couple of years are pretty development heavy and capital intensive. But I am one of the company's largest shareholders, so I'm very cognizant of share dilution. Sort of have a goal in mind of how many shares we want to have out ultimately when we start producing, because we believe we'll have created a company that will trade in a, with a market cap in the billions. And if we can do that with somewhere around 300 million shares, that would result in the share price being, in our opinion, close to $10. And so I think that's our goal of how we want to finance our growth, bring our projects to feasibility so that we could take on debt financing or put a revolver in place, et cetera, like all the big mining companies
Sure.
have, and just set ourselves up better financially to be a significant producer.
Ewan, I think you said you're one of the largest shareholders. You have some other large shareholders, corporate interest as well. I believe Equinox, perhaps.
Yeah, Equinox, who acquired Premier, owns about 20, between 20 and 25% now. Orion Mine Finance, who's been a big source of the capital we have to date, they've been, and they were a big supporter of Premier prior to us being taken over financially to build that business. They are, I believe, our second largest shareholder. And the large financing we did last year was entirely with Orion. And we are continuing to discuss with Orion additional funding that we will require as we build out our company. And it's a relationship we've had for several years with the one of the biggest financiers of the mining business. And we really appreciate that relationship, and we really work hard to incubate it.
Well, that's good. There's another company I suspect is probably buying your shares on the market. I don't know that for sure, but it's Crescat Capital Corp. I know that Quinton Henning, who I know very well, is extremely bullish on your CRD deposit and can't say enough good about it, at least when I see his videos that he records with Crescat. So I'm sure there's where there's a great project, you won't have problems financing. Of course, we'd like to see you do it at higher levels than the current level, that's for sure. But I do think it's a great time for people to get into, or at least to take a look at your story. Ewan, I want to thank you so much for spending time to inform people of i80 Gold. It's a great story, and we'll look to keep up with it in the future. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having us on, and I think the timing's great because 2023, in my view, is going to see all-time highs in the gold price. So we're quite excited by what this year has to bring for our company and for other gold companies as well.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. There may be some other things in the world that aren't as pleasant, but I think gold probably will be the recipient of some of those other things that are going on that may not be the best, but it is what it is. And that's why those of us who own gold, it's not because we want to get rich owning gold, but we know the world is a place in which it's imperfect. And this is one of the best ways, I think, financially to protect your interests going forward. Well, folks, that is all the time that we have for this week. I want you to remember, if you like this video, to hit the like button and also sign up to subscribe to this channel. Next week, Michael Oliver will be with me once again. Until then, goodbye and God's blessings to you.